Thank you all for coming. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 32. Nyasyedam Atmani Jagat Vilayambu Madhye Sheshetmana Nija Sukhanubhavo Nirihaha Yogena Milita Drig Atma Nipita Nidras Turiye Stito Na Tu Tamo Na Gunang Cha Yungche Nyasyedam Atmani Jagat Vilayambu Madhye. Sheshet mana nija sukhanu bhavo nirihaha. Yogena milita drigatma nipita nidras. Turiye stito na tu tamo na gunangsta yungshe. Nyasyedam atmani jagat vilayam bhumadye. Sheshet mana nija sukhanu bhavo nirihaha. Yogena milita drigatma nipita nidras. Turiye stito na tu tamo na gunangs cha yungshe. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So please repeat the word for word. Nyasya, throwing. Idam, this. Atmani, in your own self. Jagat, cosmic manifestation created by you. Vilaya ambu madye, in the causal ocean, in which everything is preserved in a state of reserved energy. Sheshe, you act as if sleeping. Atmana, by yourself. Nidja, your own personal. Sukha anubhava, experiencing the state of spiritual bliss. Nuriha, appearing to be doing nothing. Yogena, by the mystic power. Milita drik, the eyes appearing closed. Atma, by a manifestation of yourself. Nipita, prevented. Nidraha, who's sleeping? Turiye, in the transcendental stage. Sitaha, keeping yourself. Na, not. Tu, but. Tamaha, the material condition of sleeping. Na, nor. Gunan, the material modes. Cha, and. Yungshe, do you engage yourself in? Translation. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation, the creative energy is kept in you. You appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karano Dakshayi Vishnu, you thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects. Although you appear to sleep, this sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation, the creative energy is kept in you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karano Dakshayi Vishnu, you thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects. Although you appear to sleep, this sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As explained very clearly in the Brahma Samhita, Chapter 5, Text 47, Yakaranarnava Jale Bhajati Smayoga Nidram Ananta Jagaranda Saromakupaha Adhara Shaktim Avalambya Param Swamurtim Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who lies down in the causal ocean in his plenary portion as Mahavishnu, with all the universes generating from the pores of hair on his transcendental body, and who accepts the mystic slumber of eternity. The Adi Purusha, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Govinda, expands himself as Mahavishnu. After the annihilation of this cosmic manifestation, he keeps himself in transcendental bliss. The word Yoga Nidram is used in reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should understand that this nidra, or sleep, is not like our nidra in the mode of ignorance. The Lord is always situated in transcendence. He is Satchit Ananda, eternally in bliss, and thus he is not disturbed by sleep like ordinary human beings. It should be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in transcendental bliss in all stages. Srila Madhvacharya concisely states that the Lord is Turiya Stitaha, always situated in transcendence. In transcendence, there is no such thing as Jagarana Nidra Shushupti, wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep. The practice of yoga is similar to the yoga nidra of Mahavishnu. Yogis are advised to keep their eyes half closed, but this state is not at all one of sleep, although imitation yogis, especially in the modern age, manifest their so-called yoga by sleeping. In the Shastra, yoga is described as dhyanavastita, a state of full meditation, but this is meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhyana vastita tad gatena manasa. The mind should always be situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. Yoga practice does not mean sleeping. The mind should always be actively fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Then one's practice of yoga will be successful. Gyanantamamrandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave naraha narayanam namaskritcham naram chayva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam mudiriyat nashta prayeshva padreshu chitam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So by Srila Prabhupada's unlimited mercy, for the last few weeks, we've been hearing the most wonderful prayers describing who and what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. And these prayers are recited by Srila Prahlad Maharaj, who is a Mahajna, one of the 12 great personalities in this universe, who can actually guide us, lead us to the absolute truth. Mahajna Yena Kata Sapanta means that if you want to realize the goal, the real goal of your life, you have to follow a Mahajna. And how to find such a Mahajna? There are so many devotees in this room sitting in front of me who I hope will give me the mercy to say something of any value. But in addition to the devotees who are here with two arms, two legs, and an ostensibly human-formed body, there are millions and millions and millions of other devotees sitting right here with us, because we're in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Even the sandesh that you will taste a little later is a devotee. If you listen very closely, you can hear him chant. So there's millions and millions of devotees in front of us here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. But even when we go around back to our preaching fields in Delhi, Kolkata, the United States, Serbia, wherever we may be, we're also always surrounded by millions and millions of living entities who are all also devotees. Only time is separating them from their understanding. So we're surrounded by all these millions and billions of great living entities. Some are realized, some are not. But the Mahabharata specifically recommends that we follow a Mahajna. And of those Mahajnas, there's 12. So how to find 12 needles, not in a haystack, but in a stack full of needles? How to find those 12? You can't. That's not possible. The only way is the same way that we find Krishna, that such great souls reveal themselves. They are the Mahajnas. So out of their great unlimited kindness, they appear to give us their blessings, to give us their mercy. So what is our job? Well, our job is to accept it. Srila Prabhupada very kindly gave us such wonderful examples and analogies. One that I'm remembering now is that the mercy of the pure devotee and the mercy of Krishna is like rain. Rain's falling everywhere. But it is up to us how we accept the rain. If you decide to be a soft, tolerant, and humble blade of grass, then you will grow and thrive and be beautiful. If you decide to be hard and rigid and defensive like a stone, surely you'll get wet. But as soon as the sun comes out, you will dry, and all of that rain will be forgotten very quickly and easily. And of course, also, the mercy is falling on the ocean. The ocean is already all water. It's salt water, but still it's water. It's a type of water. So what is the example here? Well, the Mahajanas, their pastimes and their activities, their preaching, everything they say and do is so replete and full of transcendental bliss that it gives pleasure even to the other perfected souls. So this is Mahajana. And for the last few weeks, we've been hearing specifically from a Mahajana, Prahlad Maharaj. So our great fortune cannot be calculated. In preparation for this class, I was reading a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave on this verse in Mayapur in 1976. You can look it up if you like. It's March 10th, I believe, 1976. And he was talking about the lifetime of Lord Brahma. So we have the calculation in the Bhagavad Gita itself. You know, we have calculators, and you know, not so difficult to figure out. They give some calculations there. But Srila Prabhupada, he said something else. He said, actually, you can't calculate it. It's so long and so vast and so immense that these calculations are just really an indication. They're not exact. It's not like mathematics, university mathematics. It's beyond our understanding. And that's just in the material world. What to speak of these calculations of things having to do with the spiritual world, like calculating the mercy that is being given to us by Sriman Prahlad Maharaj. How is it possible to calculate? Is it possible? So in any case, Sriman Prahlad Maharaj is talking here about the difference between the sleep of Mahavishnu and the sleep of us conditioned souls. Two totally opposite, different things. So what verse in the Bhagavad Gita do we hear that reminds us of this? Actually, where's the other microphone? Can you recite both the Sanskrit and the English? Yeah. Thank you very much. So yes, that, and why is that? Why is it that yogis, they're not Krishna? Prabhupada made it really clear that Krishna is Krishna and all the other living entities are Jiva. So why is Krishna saying that the yogis have an opposite sleep to the materialists, just like what is being indicated of Krishna in this verse? Why is that? Anyone want to speculate? No? So what does Krishna, what does Srila Prabhupada say about iron? We were actually hearing about it in class just a few days ago, that iron is iron. It's hard, it's dull, it's just material. But if you put it in fire, it actually becomes fire, yes? Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. So there is one joke that everyone likes to tell in India and outside of India, that we have one extra time zone that Windows doesn't know about called IST, Indian Standard Time or ISKCON Standard Time. That means that no one is ever on time for anything. But Krishna is so kind that exactly on time and perfectly dependable and perfectly reliable, he always reveals himself at exactly the time that he says he will. So thank you. So, when iron enters fire, by prolonged exposure, by being in the fire for a long period of time, iron actually gains all the qualities of fire. If you touch a piece of iron that has been in a fire for a long time, you will get burned. If you look at the iron in the fire, it will sting your eyes and perhaps blind you, as if looking directly into a fire, because it has the dharma of fire, light and heat. So similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita verse, where Krishna says that the time for awakening for all conditioned souls is nighttime for the perfected yogis, and vice versa. That means that those yogis have been in the fire. They've been following very strictly the process given to them by their acharyas, how to reach Krishna. So they have the same quality. So why is this important? Why is it important to delineate the difference between yoga nidra and pagal nidra? I don't know, what would be the opposite of yoga nidra? Just regular materialistic nidra, right? So we all need sleep. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that one who sleeps too little or too much is not properly situated. So we need sleep. But why is that sleep that is being conducted by us in the conditioned state different than yoga nidra? Well, in the verse, Srila Prabhupada describes, the verse itself contains the word tama, meaning the mode of ignorance, the deepest covering mode of the material nature. So although we may need it, materialistic sleep is tama. It puts us in ignorance. And it also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna refers to Arjuna as the conqueror of sleep. Does that mean that Arjuna never slept? What do you think? Did Arjuna ever sleep? Yes. But Arjuna is a great Vaishnava, so his sleep is something else. So just like Srila Prabhupada often told us, that we're meant to dovetail our propensities in Krishna consciousness. That even means the simplest things, like sleep. He gave us this process. Read Krishna book just before bed so that your sleep will be converted from materialistic sleep to yoga nidra. So yes, this yoga nidra that is being described by Prahlad Maharaj in reference to Mahavishnu, that is actually available to all of us. We can't go to Bihari Lal's and purchase it. We can't go down to Loy Bazaar and have it stitched for us. But by Krishna's grace, it can be bestowed upon us if we sincerely want it. So, this is the difference. And a big part of getting the benefit of obtaining yoga nidra for ourselves is actually understanding the difference. If you don't understand the difference between a diamond and costume jewelry, surely you'll be cheated. When you go out into the market and you shop for jewelry, if you're not properly trained how to spot what is genuine and what is not genuine, you will be cheated, no matter where you go. So it's so important for us to take advantage of the training that Srila Prabhupada has given us in the form of his books, in the form of his society, and the benefits that this society provides for us, which is the association of devotees. Being here in Vrindavan is an incalculable advantage and fortune. No one can calculate how fortunate we are to be here. But why is that? Is it because we can go around to different places of Krishna's pastimes, go around to different temples? Is it because we can bathe in the dust of Sri Vrindavan Dham, which touched the feet of Krishna and Balaram? Yes. But how do we actually receive the mercy of all these things? Does anyone know? How do we receive the mercy of all of these great benefits? Yes, Prabhu?
By associating with us, serving the devotees, and serve the holy places.
You win. That's right. Without accepting the association and the shelter and the coolness, the relief of the association of devotees. Because actually, samsara dava nalalita loka, we're burning in a fire in this material world. We really are. There's pain, suffering, misery, anxiety, and eventually death at every step. And the only relief we have is the transcendental ocean of the association of the spiritual master and his representatives, the Vaishnavas. So I think that's a good time to ask all of you wonderful Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, if you have anything to add. Any comments, questions, objections? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, maybe you can elaborate on what is the difference between serving the normal devotees, so to say, and the elevated devotees, the Mahatmas.
Okay. No easier questions than that? That's a great question. Well, Srila Prabhupada named our society the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So there's literally millions of words in the English language. But he only chose International Society for Krishna Consciousness. 5 words out of the English language to describe the entire society. The last one of which is consciousness. So that tells me that the most important thing in serving is one's consciousness. What is it you are attempting in your endeavor? What is the purpose or the mood in your mind and in your heart? So what is the consciousness with which you're serving? So if you're serving thinking, this devotee kind of is not chanting their rounds, they're not following the principles, they're not wearing a dhoti, their tilak is a little off, you know, they're from this country or that country or whatever. Better I find a more advanced devotee to serve and then I'll get more benefit. That's not really the consciousness that will lead to our advancement. Rather, we think this opportunity has come of its own accord to serve a living entity who is a part and parcel of Krishna. Whatever their level of advancement is between them and Krishna. But any opportunity that comes that we have to serve other Vaishnavas, to serve any living entity, because as we said earlier, they're all Vaishnavas, eventually. Any opportunity we have, we need to take it as if we were a starving, parched mendicant wandering in the desert, being offered sweet rice. Having the opportunity to serve devotees is actually not an easy thing to achieve. Actually, the opportunity to serve at all with the proper consciousness, with understanding that I'm a servant and I'm doing this not for some benefit that, you know, I'm doing this service, therefore I'm going to get some money, I'm going to get some blessings from Krishna, the other devotees are going to see what a great servant I am. But if you're serving with the consciousness of, you know, how can I actually be of value to this other living entity, then Krishna, because he's Paramatma, he's in the heart of that living entity and in your heart, and in fact in every atom, he will bestow upon you everything you need to go back to Godhead. So, does that answer the question okay? Thank you, Prabhu. All right, anyone else? I know I've stopped speaking a little early, but that's because, honestly, Krishna gave me two ears and one mouth, so I prefer to hear twice as much as I speak. So, Karam Bhajra Prabhu? So this question indicates, what is a real Vaishnava? He's asking, how can we show mercy to the other living entities? That is a worthy question. Thank you. Well, without free will, there can't be love. And Krishna doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our bhoga. He doesn't need our garlands. He doesn't need us to dress him. He doesn't need incense, ghee lamps, or anything else. He doesn't need any of these things. These are all simply indications of our love. All we can give Krishna that he wants is our love. Of course, we have to demonstrate that through various means. Arti, garlands, bhojana, that's all a demonstration of our love. But that's what he's looking for, is love. And without free will, without the ability to say, no, Krishna, I don't want to love you, we can't really love him. So therefore, these living entities that we see that are suffering, they have that choice, and they must exercise that choice. So that's between them and Krishna. Our duty is to do the best we can to be the best examples of Krishna consciousness so that they may emulate if we're actually setting a proper example. Prabhupada said example is better than precept. Meaning that by setting an example, it's better than simply speaking something or telling someone something or advising. Prabhupada also said the first duty of a Vaishnava is to be happy. Why is that a duty? Why is it our responsibility to be happy? Why is that? Anyone want to answer? Yes, Prabhu. Thank you for your contribution. I appreciate it.
It's the best preaching, because when people see you are happy, they want to be attracted to Krishna consciousness.
There's many more people that are listening on the internet that are in this room, so please repeat that.
So it is the best preaching, because when other people see that you are happy, they will be attracted. They will see that you get your happiness from, and you will tell them to get it from some Krishna devotees.
That's right. That's right. So did Prabhupada say it's our duty to fake being happy so that other people will be tricked into joining Krishna consciousness? No. He said, it's our duty to be happy. So how do we do that? Really, how do we do that, I'm asking? Yes?
By not being miserable.
Yes, Prabhu, please repeat that.
By not being miserable.
By not being miserable. Yes. That is a very good start. Absolutely. How do we not be miserable?
Well, misery is self-imposed.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So who's the source of our misery? Who is the source of our misery? Or what is the source of our misery?
Ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. We choose it. Just like without love, without free will, there can't be love. Without free will, there also can't be misery. Chai Maharaj. So we choose it. We choose to be miserable, and those living entities who we try to convince them that you're burning, please come out of the fire, and they don't accept it, they're choosing to be miserable. But unfortunately, one great writer once said that it's much easier to convince someone of something false than it is to convince someone they've been fooled into accepting something that's false. So to convince someone that actually what you're feeling is not pleasure, that the desires that you have, the desires that you're attempting to fulfill are not pleasurable. The anticipation of sense gratification that you have is not pleasurable. The sense gratification that you actually get once it's achieved is simply stoking the fire that will increase the desires and not give you happiness. That's not pleasure. But to convince someone of that, that is more difficult than just saying, yeah, here, enjoy this fire, burn yourself. They'll accept the fire, but they won't accept its fire. Because for millions of lifetimes, they've been conditioned. But a causeless unwillingness to accept Krishna. Prabhupada calls it causeless unwillingness. Anyway. Yeah. Yes, Maharaj. To death.
Nothing left on the plate. One little potato. But when you give them prasada, and then probably, you know, we heard in the beginning, how eat more, eat more, eat more, because they were going out, and they didn't want them to go out hungry. And as soon as you go out, there's restaurants everywhere. And we saw how that works. People eat. They go to Sodom, they get full, and they just start thinking how to get back to them again. You know, they get more. If you have really nice kirtan, and everybody dancing produces happiness. But everybody wants to dance, they're shy. They start dancing in the kirtan, it's completely different. I mean, so the main thing is to give people something better.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Baby, they're chewing on the electric wire and saying, don't do that, don't do that. They try this. Now, Jayananda Prabhu used to wake the devotees up. He'd just come with a laddu or a pakora or something. Oh, Prabhu, try this.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. And they were. They woke up happy, you know.
Wow. Thank you, Maharaj. Actually, you made one other point that I want to elaborate on a little bit, is that when we get together with our friends, we complain. Oh, this misery, that misery, this adi-daivik, adi-bhotik, adi-politic. So, you know, so many things that are causing us misery. But we don't discuss it in public. If someone walks up to you in the street and you don't know them very well, even if you do, actually, until you sit down with them. They say, how are you? I'm fine. But when you sit down and you have an intimate connection with someone, then they tell you, actually, I ain't fine. Right? So as preachers, if we really want to pull people out of the fire, we have to make it really clear that we care about them, that they can trust us for real. So, my Guru Maharaj used to say, before we start fundraising, we need to be friend-raising. That's how you make devotees. What are people looking for? They're looking, I mean, what is happiness? We talked about happiness earlier. It's a place to belong. It's a place to make a connection. It's a place to reestablish our lost relationship with Krishna. Now, what is everyone's relationship with Krishna? Dasa, dasa, anudasa. We're not just up there pushing ourselves in Krishna's face, saying, you know, accept this, even from, you know, however unqualified I may be. We're servant of the servant of the servant. So if we know that, then we understand, we can get a little bit of a picture of what is the spiritual world. It means all of the Vaishnavas there, all of the perfect jivas there, they're serving each other. Yes? So if we take that opportunity to see that we're the servant of these people that are burning in the fire, then it will be virtually intolerable for you. My master's burning. How can I tolerate this? And you'll take every pain to pull him out. And it's actually pretty easy, but also very difficult. It's simple, but difficult. The simplicity of it is, you just have to make it very, very clear that you care about them. And you actually have to care. And just like we were talking about, you can't fake being happy and expect to be effective. You have to be happy. Similarly, you can't act as if you care about other living entities, but inside thinking, oh God, if this person doesn't get a book, I hope they get run over by a bus. You can't think like that. If you do, they'll sense it. People are not as dumb as some people think they are. They have intelligence because it comes from Supersoul. And Paramatma will tell them, oh, this person is just trying to increase their book scores. They don't really love you. People can sense when we really do care about them. They get it. That's why you see, you know, we have so many wonderful Vaishnavas in our Sampradaya, in our association. I won't embarrass him because he's sitting here, but like Srila Radhanath Maharaj, Srila Vaisheshika Prabhu, my Guru Maharaj, Srila Birkrishna Goswami Maharaj, Srila Hridayananda Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj. Not just the Maharaj, is also it's actually all of us. It's our responsibility to be loving like they are. How all these great Vaishnavas go out of their way, all these devotees that I named, and many, many, many more. If you sit in front of them for 10 seconds and look into their eyes and just hear one word from them, you know, okay, this person actually is my well-wisher. If I accept what they have to say, I will be benefited. So this is what Lord Chaitanya means by saying that we all have to become guru. Becoming guru doesn't mean accepting a big seat. It doesn't mean accepting worship. It doesn't mean making sure you're the first one to taste the Mahaprasadam. It doesn't mean carrying around a big stick to beat people with. Being guru means you actually love all of Krishna's parts and parcels. For reals. So you can really serve. Taking sannyas or becoming a preacher, becoming a guru, that means taking the greatest trouble, the greatest responsibility. Why would anyone do that? I actually asked one guru that one time. He said, my disciples. I said, you have disciples? He said, yeah. I said, why would you want to do that? He said, because my Gurudev took the trouble for me. So it's important that I also take that trouble. So that's what it means to be a guru, is to love all the living entities that are in front of us and make a concerted effort to make sure that they feel that love so that they will feel connected and they will want to imbibe the same loving mood. Is that okay? All right, we have about 2 minutes left. Anyone else have? Yes, Prabhu. Microphone? Where's the microphone? Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for your question, but if you wouldn't mind, there's so many on the internet that need to hear you. Yes, Prabhu. I'm sorry, could you speak a little more into the microphone?
Need not be that we have to take some particular course like a sannyasi or something. Being a normal devotee also, if you are learning all the path and process of Krishna, we can take them closer to Krishna by being a guru. But in conditioned state, when we have a tendency to make perceptions or to become angry or small mistakes, our nature is not able to tolerate it. It becomes very tough to love others.
Yes.
So how to
Yeah. Yes. It's a great question. Another question from a very sincere Vaishnava. Do you play an instrument, Prabhu? Who here plays an instrument? Yes, some people are being very shy, that's like this. Kartels. So kartels is also an instrument. So I'm asking everyone in the room to remember the first time you picked up kartels, mridanga, harmonium, guitar, whatever it may be. The first time you picked it up, there was so much anxiety. Am I going to be able to do this? How to do this? So you try it, and then you feel maybe a little sadness or a little anger, a little irritation. Ah, I'll never get this. How am I going to play this? But then you do it some more. Oh, okay, it's not... All right, let me try this some more. And then, you know, you get into the rhythm. You get into the flow. With practice, then you become an expert kartal player, mridanga player, harmonium. We have so many here. Guitar player. So by practice of loving all of Krishna's parts and parcels, we actually come to get that love. So there's an old saying, fake it till you make it, and some people don't really understand what that means. Fake it till you make it doesn't mean continue to fake it until everyone is convinced, and then you think to yourself, oh yeah, I'm there, even though you're still faking it. Faking it till you make it means you practice knowing that expertise will come by Krishna's grace and by your determined effort. So the only way to come to a loving stage of all living entities is to practice doing it. And there will be austerity in the beginning. There will be irritation, agitation, anxiety. Good. You don't get better. You know, the word stress. Stress means that which brings about a change. So without the stress of not accepting, you know, what will come in the future, you never actually get to that future. Does that make sense? So I hope that's all right. And it is 9 o'clock. Actually, it's 9:02. Unless there's anything pressing. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.